Good evening. You're tuned to the Cabaret Show here on KGNU Boulder, Denver. My name's George. Really happy to have in the studio with us Paul Mimletish, Farrell Lowe, and Ryan Seward. I don't know. I'll just call this emergent sound, something in that nebulous description of music. But Farrell Lowe on guitars, Ryan on percussion, and Paul Mimletish on clarinets. Gonna let you guys go. We'll come back and talk in a little bit. But welcome to the Cabaret, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
What?
I
tuned into the Cabaret Show here on KGNU. My name's George, and tonight we have Paul Mimlatish, Farrell Lowe, and Ryan Seward. Who to start with? I'll start with Paul on the clarinets. So would you be surprised you're not the first bass clarinet player we've had here in the last month? No. We had Harry Granger was here about a month ago with Mary Stribling. So,
very nice.
So that's cool to have two. Where can you say we've had two live bass clarinets in the studio? How did you get started on, I guess, playing clarinet and then kind of getting towards this style?
Basically,
of sound?
Guitar player converted to bass or clarinet player. Yeah. Got into a rut on guitar. I was trying to get out of that, and I figured the best way to do that was to take up an instrument that I knew nothing about. Hmm. And just figure it out on my own.
So on your own, did you take lessons or have you read music before or anything?
Oh, I've read music before and had some training in, clarinet. I mean, gotcha. in guitar.
Gotcha.
But tried to, like I say, move to something where I couldn't carry much of that over except for the knowledge part. The ergonomics and stuff are completely different.
Right.
So it was more of a trying to get more free.
Great. And then I'll talk to Ryan on the percussion. I guess if you lean into one of the overhead mics, we'll pick you up just fine. So maybe tell us a little bit about kind of what I want to say accoutrements or preparations you have on the on your drum kit there.
I guess a lot of this kind of came out of starting to try to approach the drum set, and I kind of listening to a lot of electroacoustic music and things and figuring out how the drums could kind of create some of those same sounds and same timbres without actually having to play electronics. So kind of started out with me just rosining the heads, violin or cello rosin, whatever. And then I've got a bunch of different implements that I kind of use to create friction. A large part of my approach is friction. I've got some little kind of metal little glass tubes, pine cones, got some steel wool, but basically just things that I found had some sort of natural frequency themselves as an object, or something that created some kind of overtone or frequency on the drums, kind of almost using the drum as an amplifier for those objects that I'm kind of messing with. So yeah, I've got a lot of stuff back here. Mm-hmm. Rod dowels, strange odds and ends that I've found kind of over the years. So
great. Yeah. Great. And Farrell on guitar. You're playing a guitar. We were joking about things too. We're not gonna, it's a guitar, it's got strings, it has pickups, it's a guitar. I'm trying to think, what's your, and you have a lot of pedals in front of you.
Well, in modern guitarist terms, I've got minimal pedals.
That's true. Right, there's only counting.
It's like what I'm using here.
Four pedals, two wahs or expression
pedals. One expression controller and a volume control.
Yeah.
So that's the extent of it. And two of the pedals are chorus units. And one is a distortion box, and the other one's kind of a mystery box.
Mm-hmm.
It does multiple things simultaneously. They all do, but that one in particular.
Right. And I guess what led you to this direction of guitar playing versus I don't know.
Everybody else does that all the time.
Yeah.
How much more do you need? So it's like, as you probably know, I grew up in the woods on a farm in rural America, and I started playing classical guitar when I was in my early teens. So I did, Bach, Villa-Lobos, all the standard things. And then that evolved into electric guitar. And, so I did the rock thing. And then I guess the thing that really changed it for me was probably hearing John McLaughlin with Miles Davis on Bitches Brew for the first time. That and like Larry Coryell with Gary Burton. So those early jazz rock crossovers, and that very quickly led to Derek Bailey and Fred Frith and, you know, the outside players, so to speak. And that, growing up in a natural environment, it made a lot of sense to me. Sonics from an instrument as opposed to like sea jam blues. You know, so I used to study jazz and played it 8 hours a day in a vacuum, basically. And then, like, after you get to the point of where you're playing sea jam blues on the front porch, after a while, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. what's next? So
right. Maybe Paul or Ryan, you can talk about some of the people that you heard also that influenced you.
I was doing guitar stuff, I was heavy into, I started out a blues guitarist back in the 60s and was influenced by like Mike Bloomfield and a lot of British blues players, Kim Simmons from Savoy Brown. And then from there moved into jazz. And then the last part of that period was I was heavily into Pat Martino. And like I say, after a while, like Farrell was getting at, you know, things become ingrained and it's hard to break out of that and go where you want to go more freely and get rid of old habits. So for me, it was basically, okay, stop guitar and take up something completely different. And, you know, that's basically, and so for horn players, I guess Brandon Evans is a big influence. He's played with Braxton, Sonny Simmons, a bunch of other people, and he's just a killer, man. Just when I heard what he was doing, I was like, yep, that's what I want to do. So, you know, that's, but, you know, all the guys like Anthony Braxton, the outside, sort of like outside players, I guess you would call it, Bratzman, Gustafson, all those guys, a lot of European guys are not influenced by jazz per se, maybe initially, but they, you know, made it a point to get away from that and develop their own freestyles. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Do you have anything to add, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was a classical concert percussionist really before I started taking drum sets seriously. So I think a lot of things for a while were kind of, you know, you kind of compartmentalize the drum set thing in the entire jazz tradition that I was studying and so involved in just Jack DeJohnette, Tony Williams, Elvin Jones, drummers like that were pretty much, you know, for 4 or 5 years all I was listening to. And, you know, that's a very pure sort of approach to the drums in a way. There's no extension of the instrument. It's just about playing the instrument at a really high level. But I think I kind of got away from some of those things that I found interesting with concert percussion and some of the instruments that I'd kind of put back in a way. So when I started doing it again, I think there were a couple of jazz drummers. Tom Rainey was one of the big ones that I was checking out that kind of led me into this direction to see, you know, drummers that were doing sort of preparations and things on their drum set, but maybe still playing in a jazz-like or improv-like way. But I think, yeah, some of the early guys, like Paul mentioned, Peter Brotzman, his drummer, Paul Lovins, Paul Litton, two of my probably biggest influences in that vein. But
Tony Oxley.
And Tony Oxley, absolutely. So I think guys that were kind of getting into this maybe energy sort of approach to drumming, but then even percussionists that are working contemporary, like Chris Cogburn, who are kind of approaching the drums more in this sort of textural way, or sort of way that I think lends itself to being a part of an acoustic ensemble in a way that sometimes drums are really, they're an instrument that can really dictate. And I think in a way, kind of deconstructing that allows me to sort of be a part of an ensemble in a way that, playing classical percussion or piano or whatever, kind of. So it was getting back from jazz, kind of going back to the contemporary classical stuff, Ferrez, Cage, all the percussion music they had written and all the stuff I played in high school and college, and kind of trying to, where do these worlds come together? And I think that was it, sort of that space in between where all that comes together.
So speaking of coming together, how did you all come together for this project, for this
Paul and I have been playing together for a few years now, in a different context.
I was minding my own business up in Evergreen, and then Farrell called me one day and said, "Hey, you want to get together and do a gig?" So I said, "Okay."
Boy, howdy. Yeah. And then Ryan, I guess we've been playing together for less than a year, I suppose, right? And we've been playing more frequently. We've got some things coming up. He actually reminds me of a drummer, Gordon Kennedy, a local drummer who doesn't play anymore. He reminds me of that thing. He doesn't sound like Gordon. He doesn't even know who Gordon is.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm relatively new to Colorado. So I discovered both these gentlemen who have been here for much longer than I have, much more experience than I have. But it was, reaching out, I think, to Farrell, knowing his influence in this music community. And, kind of finding a mentor in that, I think, and an inspiration to, because where I'm from, in Denton, there was, it was just straight ahead. There was no one to play this sort of thing with. So, yeah, I kind of came along much later.
Tell them about the organization.
We've started this kind of loose organization of improvisers throughout. Farrell mentioned there was a group in the mid-80s, FRIO, Front Range Improvisers Orchestra. And that idea of that was to bring improvisers together throughout Colorado's Front Range. It was particularly active in Boulder, but I think the idea of this is the organization's called Frantic Front Range Transidiomatic Improvisers Collective. And the idea with that is to a mouthful, but the idea with that is to kind of try to pull together a community. There's people at UNC and Greeley who are interested in this type of work, and CSU. And so we kind of wanted to have some sort of organizational thing to get us all to come together. And so right now we're doing a free improv experimental concert series out at an art gallery in Louisville on Main Street called Down and Out. The space is called Down Space. And that'll be in its third month, this upcoming month, in a formal way. Of course, as Farrell said, we've all been playing a lot of different contexts, obviously, for many years, but this is kind of trying to be something that's organized monthly, a place where people can check this music out on a regular basis without kind of having to hear about it from, your friend or whatever.
And you're doing something this coming Saturday?
Something this coming Saturday, Paul will be playing a duo with a bass player in Fort Collins, who will actually be playing electronics, Matt Smiley. And then Farrell and I will be playing together in a quartet with Jenna Hunt on harp, and Matt Smiley will be playing double bass. And then we've got a couple other folks joining us as well. So those are the preformed groups, and then we'll kind of, as time permits or as the space allows, we kind of do some ad hoc trios as well. But as I said, it's the third month, so next month is the really big month for us because we have a internationally acclaimed, just huge free improv vocalist, sound poet, composer, Jaap Blonk, is coming from the Netherlands, from Arnhem, and he's doing a European tour, an American tour right now to celebrate the centennial of the Dada art movement, which started in 1916, so he'll be doing some of the work of Kurt Schwitters, Tristan Sara, Hugo Ball, and then he'll be doing some of his own work. He's an incredible improviser in his own right, as well as a Dada sort of sound poet. So he'll be here on November 12th at the fourth one, which is a Saturday, 7 p.m. We've got a couple, Matt Smiley and myself, Farrell, and Victoria Lundy will be playing. She's a thereminist, and electronics as well will be playing with him.
And do you have a website or something where people could go find out more about this if they forget on air?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's Downs. Well, it's all Facebook social media. Downspace it's facebook.com/frontrangeimprovisers is that website. And then of course we all have individual websites, which if you search for any of our names that you hear on the program, you'll find all the information on our individual websites as well.
Great. Once again, we have Farrell Lowe, Ryan Seward, and Paul Mimotish.
So I've got a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
So, what's your reaction when you hear things like this?
I met you probably these guys shortly. Have these guys, I mean, they're like I was, 15 years ago when I first heard you play. I think it was you and Janet Fetter and Bob Bellaroux was in here, and I think Ernie Cruz. Uh-huh. And, it just kind of, for me, it's like, oh, you know, music isn't just music. It's not C blues. It's sounds, it's composition, it's interacting with one another. And that, I mean, that's what struck me as the most interesting about it. And still, you know, I love just kind of being part of it. And it's, I don't know, I think it takes, you know, changing your brain a little bit, like how to listen to music. Like your work with Lygia Amare, as well as thinking of that. And it's, you know, you're listening for textures and interactions and not chord progressions or movements or, I don't know.
You may get those, but you're not expecting them.
Right. Yeah. There's not going to be, you know, there might be a harmonic resolution somewhere, but that's not, it's
purely an accident.
Yeah, purely an accident, maybe, or maybe not. So, yeah, so it's funny. So it's, when you hear, you know, Paul, you warming up with the bass clarinet and hearing it resonating, you know, fluttering off the wall. There's about 6 inches of insulation there and all that. I mean, that's the neat stuff to me with the, you know, what can you do with sound? Mm-hmm. And it's like these, you know, composers and performers that you've talked about as well. I mean, just when I hear those, it just kind of really always continues to, you know, pique my interest in what's happening. Something like that.
So. Yeah.
Good answer, dude.
We'll take it away, gentlemen. Maybe one day I'll participate more in this thing.
Thank you.
Ryan Seward and Farrell Lowe, the MLS ensemble, Master in Library Sciences, or something to do with what, soccer, right?
That's right.
That's what, once again, you'll be at Downspace Saturday night in Louisville. That's what, right behind Wildwood Guitars, just off of Main Street. Can't miss it. Front Range Improvisers was the Facebook?
Yeah, Front Range Improvisers, yeah. So Facebook.com/
Front Range Improvisers. Lots of things coming up. We've got a couple minutes. I have to run in there and do the handoff.
Oh,
yeah.
A little multitasking.
Multitasking.
Can't get these guys to do it?
Got to get
them
trained.
No way, dude.
Jake's like, yeah, Jake, it's my fault. I apologize. So, anyhow, I want to thank you all. It's always a pleasure. And
oh, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And, always a treat. We love to play.
And you're all out and about playing with lots of people around the Front Range.
It's, you know, it's interesting, you know, like, so I've been here for over 30 years doing this music, and you know, like in the mid to late 80s, early 90s was like a golden time for a lot of Denver Boulder music. Like it was an incredible scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, like, there was a bit of a nadir. You know, like, I had that series at the West End for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that was kind of like the only thing there was, you know. And we had all those great groups that came through and such. And, you know, like, then, you know, like, the Boulder thing happened where, you know, it's all tech and sports and stuff. And, you know, improvised music and just creative arts in general kind of took a pretty serious hit in the community. And I'm seeing things come back, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks Obama. Right?
Yeah. Well, you have, you know, Animal Object is doing their thing quite a bit. You have, you know, Dino Dean in town, doing that.
Paul and I are both in that
his
group.
His conduction ensemble.
Yeah. So you know, we do the conduction ensemble, which is really fantastic. And, you know, I mean, it's like Dino is a heavyweight, you know. I mean, he's traveled the world. He played trombone with Ike and Tina Turner, you know, like back in the 60s.
Yeah.
That was his day. That was his gig, you know, and then took off to the trajectories.
Yeah.
So it's a heartening time, actually.
Yeah.
And things like this are like, you know, like they're pointing that direction, which is great.
Great. So Front Range Improvisers off Facebook, Farrell, Ryan, and Paul. Thanks again. Can you do a kind of 2 minutes of whatever?
we
to,
can
to take us on out of here.
Yeah, we can do that.
Thank you.
And that'll give you a segue to get into the room,
right?
Right?
I can run around the building.
In the rotten deato, I scare a bomb dick hit a coat. Batsun, the rock is echo. Hatum da. Yeah.